Oh, that means I have to be ready with a quote. Hang on.
What?
You've got to keep that in.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to... Oi!
APP Services, the Varsity, and Book1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 239. I'm Adam, and every famous burglar in history is hiding in this bank right now, and here's Debbie Melrose, and he forgot your name, man.
I'm Clara, human, and I have agreed to this memory wipe of my own free will.
Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
There you go, you've got another playmate.
And you've got another funny computer. And she's back, it's Mary Lang.
When people get fired here, it's messy.
You told me that my sound was okay.
Fine.
It was until the show started.
Yeah,
sound fine.
But you'll do.
You're going a little cyber on us.
Yeah, you'll do though, Kirby. I haven't got time to mess around. It's a live show again this week.
Sure.
For obvious reasons. Stop opening sweets right next to the microphone. Right.
Sorry.
Right. So this week we're going to be looking at Time Heist. But first of all, we have some. Shut up.
Oh, dear.
Be quiet. So, first of all, we have some unfinished business. Mary, deliver your listen review. And you can do a quote as well, by the way.
Mm. You really want my listen review?
I do.
Yes.
Are you eating as well? Oh, God.
Of course.
Stop it. Respect for Mary.
Go on, Mary. She's eating, so I'm going to eat as well.
Okay. I don't have a review of listen specifically as much as I have a rant.
Okay.
Good.
And because this is what's been driving me nuts up and through this particular episode is that what we're watching anymore is the Clara Oswald show. Is that I've gone from being glad to seeing more of her in the stories, you know, knowing more about her. But now I'm wishing that there was less of her. Series 8 is becoming the Clara Oswald Adventures, kind of like the Sarah Jane Adventures. we've gotten to know other companions, their backstories. We've met their families and some even who've dropped off to carry on their lives in between the televised stories. They've even been helpful to the Doctor in getting out of trouble and devising solutions to problems. But the show was never about them. I'm also puzzled over her apparent reluctance to accept him. I mean, she's the impossible girl who was split into many pieces and sent all through the Doctor's timeline, to help him in every, situation, you know, where he needed her, young and old. She's even met the War Doctor personally. So why is she so mystified about his current incarnation? Even having to have Madame Vastra explain regeneration to her. Her attitude with him is very annoying. Whenever the 11th Doctor would show up, she'd be all smiles, even jumping on a motorcycle and speeding towards him. With this one, it's like she's irritable, critical, and sharp with him all the time, and she's never glad to see him. And I say, girl, if this isn't working for you, move on. You know, there's plenty of other creatures and humans out there that would love to travel with the Doctor. And him begging her to stay with him, that just doesn't work for me. And the stories so far are another issue for me, including Listen. They've been very simplistic and loaded with filler. What happened to the complex and dense stories we were getting with the 9th, 10th, and 11th Doctors? One of the people on, I think it was our site, was asking something. It was saying something's
Facebook
missing.
Group.
Facebook group, thank you. you got to help me along here. it was saying that something's missing, but they couldn't put their finger on what. And I think what's missing is that originality and that complexity that we used to get I think these stories are so simple that I feel like I'm watching a show on CBBC. Who are they writing for? I feel like I'm being talked down to, like I can't keep up. I like stories where I get more and more out of them with every reviewing. These, you know, I watch them once and I'm done with them. You know, it's like I really am not interested enough to go back and watch them again. So everything that I'm saying applies to all the stories up until, you know, this one. This is the first doctor-centric story, but I still have issues with it, but we'll get to that, you know, when we talk about it. And apparently they didn't get my memo. They haven't changed the theme tune yet, so. That too sounds very CBBC to me.
So you like
it. Okay. So that's my rant.
Okay, thank you, Barry.
So you're going to switch over and become a Star Trek fan and forget about ever watching Doctor Who?
Oh, no. No.
Take it from one extreme to the other, doesn't it?
Well, and the thing is, although my opinions are a little different for this story, I fear by watching the previews for the coming episode that I'm going to be right back in that place again, going, yeah. More of this irritating girl.
Well, that segues nicely into the episode that we're just about to review, Time Heist. Mm-hmm. So it begins with a little bit of the title sequence.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit of the title, little tiny little bit of the title sequence. So because it's
with that irritating theme. Yeah,
No, you said really? Excuse me, but it was a lead-in which incorporated part of the title sequence. Thank you very much. Because the Doctor's spinning around, and Clara's still flirting with Danny Pink.
And that beginning thing would have worked a lot better in the script than it showed up as what they filmed. Because it was supposed to, it said a swirling dark vortex, almost like the Doctor Who titles, and then he goes the Satanic
this is where
Nebula.
The new titles sort of fall apart because it doesn't really look like a time vortex, does it?
You were supposed to see the giant goldfish flying past a castle, and you see just a goldfish ball.
Mm, you know what they should have done. Because obviously we know this is a title sequence, but what they should have done is used part of the previous title sequence as the time vortex. Just sort of dug a bit of the actual time vortexy bit out of it. Just use that as sort of... Because all Doctor Who fans would have known that was a time vortex. Mm. In fact, viewers probably would have picked up on that, but don't call themselves Doctor Who fans. Yes? Well, I thought it did sound like he was going to say something, didn't it?
It sounds like he was
like the bit where the Doctor's trying to get Clara to go with him, and he says, "You're taller, heels, and your face is a different colour," and that sort of thing.
This bothers me too, that this Doctor, who has been through many incarnations and a lot of human women, and he seems to know... He has had as companions many human women. Of course, I guess that doesn't sound too good either.
No, yeah, well, just carry on. I know what you're getting at.
He seems to know the intimate details of the life and times of just about every other creature in the universe. Why is he so mystified by yet another human woman?
I think it's just that male thing, because all men are mystified by women, full stop. So it makes it even harder for an alien man to understand them.
I mean, it makes for funny lines, you know, and I can laugh at the lines, but then I scratch my head over, why is he so darn ignorant?
Yeah, I think that the 11th Doctor has
a lot of that. He's been that way before.
Yeah, the 11th Doctor was very confused about humans to a certain degree, wasn't he?
He just didn't express it the same way.
No.
Yeah.
But I do like that. I did like that particular thing.
He just doesn't seem to have an inner monologue, this one, very much an inner monologue. Yeah, this Doctor just blurts it out rather than just stands thinking about it. Doctor's like, well... Yeah.
A bit like the 4th Doctor. Anyway, so the phone rings and the Doctor answers it, much to Clara's sort of, well, says don't answer it because it always means trouble, and of course it does. And they end up around a table.
Yeah, that's a really good sequence. I liked that.
having just sort of touched a memory worm or deleted their memory via some sort of headgear. What are you laughing at?
I'm sorry, I'm just preempting the bit where the soldiers come in and are like, we wondered why we were here. We found these really amazing worms.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, just going forward.
Although that doesn't go with the way Strax was acting with the worm back in the Christmas special, because he didn't really notice that he had the worm, did he?
No, that's true. He didn't know.
Yes.
So anyway,
I'll pick it up. What am I doing?
But that was funny. So basically, they have a mission to rob a bank, the most secure bank in the universe, apparently. Mm-hmm. Which means that no bank.
I'm not terribly impressed by their security.
No.
Yeah. They get in awfully easily.
Heavily affected by solar storms and stuff like that. And then we see what's his character here? Mrs. Delfox. Missy Delfox?
I don't know.
I don't know. No. There we go. Yes, Kirby? No, I've read the future scripts. It's not her. I've read all the future scripts. Well, no spoilers. No. I've read them all, but I haven't really. Yeah, go on.
From this point on, I know practically nothing. And I also want to withdraw, unless it is proven otherwise, my speculation about Courtney.
Okay. Moving on. Yeah, so...
Although apparently we get Courtney next week.
Okay, thank you for that.
Have you noticed how Doctor Who likes to have these spiky-heeled professional women as villains?
Mm. Yes. Do you reckon that Moffat's got some sort of fetish for that sort of...
Well, and even before that, Partners in Crime...
Yes. I was thinking specifically of Partners in Crime, very similar characters. Mm. And
There's Master. There's a complete rundown of all the similar characters, even going back and including the Ronnie in the making of...
You haven't seen any of these extras yet, have you seen them?
No, I haven't, no.
What? I post them.
I haven't got time. I the fact that I have two jobs. In fact, I have two and a half jobs, actually, really, because that's my own business takes about one and a half times more than my day job does.
Yeah, but aside from the Ronnie, I'm talking about professional, business-suited women. I mean, think of the Bells of St. John and...
Yes, Celia Rimmery's character, yeah.
Mm. Oh, and there was another one that came and went through my brain.
It doesn't matter because you've made a very good point. So I have this mission to go and rob the bank, and we find out that Sabra is a shape-shifting type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which could lead to a bit of confusion.
That's pretty good.
I reckon these characters are going to come back later on because they're going to use the fact that she's a shape-shifter. I know she's taken this medicine to gear herself, but... There could be a bit of timey-wimeyness going on.
Well, there's no actual... Nothing said that says it's permanent. I don't
recall.
She
said she's cured, unless it's something she has to
get. Yeah, but
taken.
Then maybe she can just do it for her own free will rather than... Yeah.
Script,
Yeah.
When it's convenient for the script... I don't think it is because
they're never one-offs in
the finale is coming.
They all come up in the last one.
Yeah. And this bit reminded me of Harry Potter, the bit where they're all wandering through the bank courtyard.
In disguise, yeah.
And obviously Sabre is the bloke. And that so reminded me of that scene where they all took the polyjuice potion. In the last story.
Mm-hmm. But it's also like every bank heist movie. There's always that slow motion, our characters going through the dangerous area in slow motion. They do that a lot.
Like the alien, I think that's, it did look, it reminded me a little bit like the beast with its eyes on stalks, but I did like it. It's a nice design, that.
Well, did you think his costume looked a little weird? It kind of looks like a spacesuit, but it's not a spacesuit because
it's
all
a straitjacket.
Straitjacket, yeah.
But it's got that rim around his neck. Yeah, like it's a spacesuit.
Yeah.
Except that it's all in these nice little long flappy things around his legs.
You mean flares?
I don't know. They're anyway, just so flappy they, bits of fabric.
They sort of pick the wrong bloke, but obviously he's still got some secrets because they kill him. Now, the bit that I don't know, I thought was a bit horrible is when his head collapses. I didn't quite see the point of his head collapsing. I know it was a good effect.
Well, there's a picture actually doing the rounds on Facebook of some of the world's worst mugshots, and there's one with a guy who's pretty much got a head looking
I've seen one of a bloke who he got shot in the head and half his brain, and it's basically that side of his head's gone, and he's alive. Yeah. And that, but that, I didn't understand. All they're taking his sort of mind from inside, so why would his skull collapse?
Yeah, why would his skull collapse? Yeah, yeah, I wondered about that. And then, why do they have him all chained up later? I mean,
what is he? He can't do anything, can he?
He can't, yeah, he's useless, so why is he chained up in a cell?
Chain him up, yeah. Oh, I don't know. Anyway, so they end up in... Is that a lift? Because it looks like a lift.
No,
I think it's just
it's
a room.
An antechamber.
It's a what chamber?
An antechamber.
Oh, right. They established this when they were talking about how the bank works in the first place. Mm-hmm. That's one of the places you go in and you request your valuables to be brought to you.
With your breath.
And that's what they're doing, is they've used Mr. What's his face?
Sai.
The Trevor Sellers character, Mr. Porima, and his breath through Sabra is able to bring up the already pre-planted briefcase.
Okay.
It's not very clear, but that's what's going on.
I did like the concept of the breath thing. That was quite clever.
Funny you could see it, though. I know you've already established that they're breathing, but you don't need to see it.
Maybe it's a bit cold then.
Yeah.
And I like
cold,
the...
I
just hate to imagine what happens if one happened to have a garlic bagel that morning.
I like the idea
they
of
must
the,
have
the,
contingencies
the bomb
that.
The creature that blows sucks a hole out in the brain. Floor and then, then replaces it after. It's a bit like the invisibility gun, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
And see, that's one of the things where I'm going, well, they didn't think things through with the security. Yeah. The security
and the squareness
gun,
listeners, before you write in and complain. Yeah. The squareness gun. They're pedantic. They're Doctor
Who
to
me, the security looked rubbish all the way through.
Yeah.
Whether that guy announcing intruders on the... And no one seemed to be acknowledging it.
Mm. Yeah.
You knew that when they were cowering away from the bomb that it was going to be an anti-bomb.
Well, it would be.
Wow.
So they do a bit of skulking around the corridors of the bank, which was inevitably was going to lead them face to face with
the 4, 5, 6. Yes.
Yes. Thank you. I thought that. and then
they couldn't create a new enclosure. They just decided to go back a few years. Redo the 4, 5, 6 enclosure.
Yes. Of course they couldn't. They're saving money. It's the BBC. They save money so we can have Doctor Who.
You could even see where they'd still been throwing slime up against the edges of the windows.
Anyway, the doctor gives them out a few little cylinders.
Master?
Something. Yeah. Master? Yes.
Back in the vault sequence, one thing that really irritated me is that Sai is still using USB technology.
Yes. Yes. Blowing on
it. We're still using USB technology.
But he blows on it. That's
yeah,
so
but we're
weird.
Still using steampunk graphics for the... I think that all of this is throwback.
Hmm.
But he uses what is very obviously a generation one end of a USB cable, and it's a projector.
Okay.
This they should have come up with a different thing there.
Well, they
didn't
come up with the
irritates.
Breath thingy, but so I haven't got a problem with that. They can never get it right, can they? Star Trek
My USBs don't project.
Don't
and
worry
they look
about
just like
it.
That.
Don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. Does it really matter? No.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No. Right. So you can say the doctor gave out those little cylinders that are supposed to sort of a bit like the suicide pills, aren't they? Really. That's implied that that's what they are.
Mm-hmm. Although it was so rapid how he was talking at that point, it wasn't very clear. That irritated me.
I like the sign above the conduits that says no entry under any circumstances.
Yes,
I know. That was stupid.
Yeah.
But that,
hey, you know, I'm beginning, just our talking about this is making me more negative about this story than I was in the first place.
Right, well,
join the club.
Let's try and get through it then, shall we, please? Yeah, so eventually this turns into a bit of a It reminded me a little bit of the one where they were. It was a Minotaur one. The story, you know, when they were on the
It's like a mix between a Jadoon and a Minotaur.
Yeah, it was
goat's eyes.
The one where we had it was a bit of the Nymon sort of sequel, wasn't it? That one.
Yeah.
Where they were sort of around the labyrinth trying to escape this very beautifully designed monster.
Well, on the extras, they said that the people who were at the
bus going or car going.
Okay. Yeah, they said that the people watching the filming of this creature walking off into the the field or whatever, that the people watching were all guessing that this was an episode that was bringing back the Nymon.
But anyway, so the Sabra sort of sacrifices herself, so as a doctor, and because initially it locked onto Clara's mind, didn't it? So Sabra sort of sacrifices herself because she gets trapped in there with it as they try to escape, and.
I did like its eyes.
No, I think the whole thing was really good. Really good design.
And they said in the making of that you didn't bother to watch, that everyone was really amazed because it looked so real on the set. Because all those animatronics were working.
The only thing that didn't look real with its feet, they did a shop of its feet that looked really rubbery and unrealistic. So that's the only thing for me that let it down. I love the corridors in this. They're great, aren't they? I know it's the same corridor, but they just change the lighting. Change the lighting, but they do.
Well, they all do that.
Yeah. Let's see what I mean about the feet. The toes
like,
look all right.
Looks like the same corridor that Rory and Amy are running up and down in the one where the time keeps shifting. What's that one? Doctor's Wife?
Oh, yes. No, is that the girl who waited?
Girl who waited. It was the Doctor's Wife, I'm pretty sure.
Doctor's Wife, time keeps shifting?
Yeah, he keeps waiting for her. And Rory's getting older and older.
Oh, yeah, that is the Doctor's Wife.
Yeah.
Okay.
But not time's not shifting, it's just the TARDIS. So eventually Sai then decides he's going to save Clara by being a big hero. And
another thing, it wasn't clear through this whole thing that there was, you see the solar storm, but it's not exactly clear that this solar storm is so bad that it, at the end, is going to destroy the planet.
Yeah, they just say it's coming.
That's a very good point. Didn't bother me, but
because you would just assume that they've ridden these things before, it should be all right. Mm-hmm. I thought that it just knocked out the bank temporarily, and that was that. Right. But not that it was going to destroy everything. Until
it's the bank Terabroxas, not the bank.
Maybe they just were trying not to scare people. Anyway, so the Doctor and Clara arrive at the big vault door, which is very sort of stereotypical of a bank vault door, isn't it? Big safe.
Yeah.
They initially can't get in, but they do. And and then I love the vault itself. That's really cool. And they don't take them very long to find their foxes. They've got a sneeze.
Bless you.
And again, that's the similarity between this and the one whose title I forget that I was talking about the Nymon sequel, the one with the hotel, when they had hotel. Each hotel room had its room, and they had something in within the room
The God Complex.
God Complex. Yeah. That's it. Toby, friend of the show, Whithouse, who would have told me they wrote it.
Yeah,
friend of the show. By the way.
I wish she'd written this one. It would have been better.
Yeah. Anyway, so he. Sorry, not Toby Whithouse. So that's a similarity where there was something within the room that was, they might have been scared of, but here there was something personal for each of the characters in the story. And then it all starts. Falling in together, doesn't it? Because again, this bit where they get rescued by the guards and it turns out to be Sai and Sabra. It was very similar to episode one when the Doctor's got the sort of, this disguise on and turns up to save Clara.
You kind of knew something like that was going to happen because one of them's got his helmet on where it was off before.
Yeah.
And, off rather, sorry, on.
I didn't actually know that, but I thought they got out of that really well. But the fact that they're still alive is a bit confusing. But obviously then the Doctor, they explain what it actually was.
Yeah, and how they suddenly turn up as guards, yeah.
Yeah, well, they were... I thought it was a time-travelling thing where they actually hadn't... This was before they'd done the table, around the table and forgetting memory stuff?
No,
that's what initially I thought at the time, that they were actually... this all happened before that. but it wasn't all because he took them all.
No, they were transported up to a unspecified ship where the TARDIS happens to be.
I accept this.
I mean, it's complete nonsense.
I like the fact
that I'm really.
Ooh, listen to you.
Almost every treasure in there is like Earth treasure.
Yeah. And also, when they press the button on this thing that's supposed to destroy them, it does look like they're transporting somewhere, to be fair. Yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of treasures, there is one kind of cool thing. One of the treasures is a little cardboard tube rocket, which was made by the director's daughter.
Yeah, it's in the glass bell jar, isn't it?
Yes.
It is.
Uh-huh. There it is, look.
Yeah, it's very good.
It's time check at 36:04,
I tell you what, I do like a hairstyle, the original
Carabraxis.
I do too.
In this particular scene, when she's got it down, it looks really lovely. I suppose about it, really. I know it's a few minutes ago. I'm just paraphrasing as the Doctor sort of gives her his phone number. So then that ties us back to the beginning of the story again, because obviously it's her that calls the Doctor and sets up the whole thing.
And then we discover
that
it's just a repeat of Hyde.
Yeah, because he takes the monsters home. Mm-hmm. They're not baddies after all.
Actually, the Doctor pretty much is the villain in this one.
Is he?
I think so.
In what
just
way?
Comes across as being the. Because he's the architect and very
manipulative. Paradise Towers. Yeah. I said to Deb, it's not you, the other one. that reminded me a lot of Paradise Towers. Going on about architects and there's towers that are banks and stuff. Yeah, so that's basically about it, isn't it, really? Yes, it is. Stop arguing.
Those worms are so cool.
Yeah. So he takes us about monsters home. End of story. Right then. Now, I've got this paraphrase. I'll tell you what I think about it. Obviously, it was going to be difficult to maintain a sort of a gradually getting better scenario after last week's story.
Oh, we weren't even going to discuss all the
You can
robbers.
Do when it's your turn. I'm talking about.
Well, I don't have the list of them, so there.
Oh, well, nor have I. I've got these coming. Anyway, so. But
I might have a list somewhere.
For me, this was okay. I enjoyed it more on the second viewing because I understood a few little. Funny quirks. I watched this originally about 10 o'clock at night when I was quite tired. Watched it again this morning and picked up on a few things. That actually made a bit more sense this morning. But I still don't like stories that you can't make sense of on the first viewing, simply because. Well, I suppose I think Doctor Who now and a lot of the programmes are made to be reviewed, so as you can pick up little things and every time. I mean. A funny thing is, watching 40 Towers, is so many times I've watched 40 Towers, but there's always something new I pick up on every time I watch it. But
magic. But the stories in 40 Towers are so simple that you don't get them on the first viewing.
No, it's magic getting crossed
about 40
Towers. Stop
talking over my Mary. Sorry, Mary.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said, but my point earlier was that the problem that I'm having is that the stories this season are so simple that you get them on the first viewing.
No, I don't get that, because obviously when I watched this first time round, I was okay, I quite enjoyed it and didn't understand a few aspects of it. Watched it on the second time, then I picked up on a lot of the things I didn't understand on the first viewing and understood the characters a bit better and how they ended up sort of in the situations they were and stuff like that. And... now we've watched it a third time. That hasn't changed much because obviously I had the sound down. But on the whole, I quite enjoyed it to a certain degree. I wasn't blown away by it. It's a bit of a filler episode for me. But I didn't think it was terrible. I'd watch it again, but if I had to. It's not like some of the episodes I completely detest and I'd never watch again. I think it's just all right. It's just going to be sit in my middling sort of shelf if I had a video for it. But it's okay. It's nothing major. It's... You know, they could have done better, couldn't they, really? I'll give them a C.
Yeah.
Right then, Debbie, what did you think?
Same. I enjoyed it. but I found it, that's it, yeah, the ditto, there you go. But I just found it was a filler episode. Mm. I didn't feel it was really a standalone episode. I just felt it was leading us on to something. I mean, yes, it could be seen as a standalone episode, but I didn't feel like that. I felt like we were just sort of being... hauled along with them for a bit and get to know these characters and see, look at the new tech we're
Danny's
bringing back.
Danny's appearance was a bit superfluous. I didn't think that was particularly necessary.
I just don't I mean, it all. It's. I just feels like it's just a build up to next week when Danny's going to be getting cross about Clara always running late and things like that.
Well, she's in the time machine. She shouldn't.
Exactly. Mm. Well, it's more the time machine. This series is more correct and
exactly.
it gets to the right time than it has done in all the others. But no, I did. I enjoyed it, but yeah, it was just. It could have been so much more. Could have been. Yeah, it was great ideas,
I wonder if it was quite a good script until Stephen Moffat started fiddling with it.
Yes,
yeah, that's, I agree. It just feels like...
It was.
I'll have to go have a look at that. But no, for me, I would watch it again. But again, I wouldn't go out of my way to.
Okay, thank you, Debbie.
But Keely Hawes was amazing.
She's lovely. I do like her. And she was very beautiful in that, like I say, the second hairstyle. She had the up hair up did not suit her at all. But yeah, she's great. Do like her. She was in the remake of Upstairs Downstairs.
Yes, she was.
She's a really good actress. Kirby,
Master.
Yes, I read this one as a script, and I kept quiet about it. And I liked it as a script, really enjoyed it. And then when I saw what they'd done with the script, I was very disappointed. It's not the worst of the ones so far, and I'm afraid Into the Dalek continues to remain on the bottom of my list this series. But it's right next to it. It's very middle. It's okay. I will rewatch this one. I will probably only rewatch Into the Dalek under torture.
Well, Kirby, what can you name like one scene or something where it was much better in the script but done poorly for the TV?
A lot of the descriptions of the security and how it all worked and everything. It just moved along more coherently.
Okay.
I liked parts of it, obviously. I did love the mugshots of the criminals, and yes, I found the list.
Yeah, so did I.
There's a Censorite, Terra Leptal, which one of these days I need to see the Visitation. I've never seen the Visitation. There's the Slitheen, an Ice Warrior, the Gunslinger from A Town Called Mercy, Captain John Hart from Torchwood, Androvax and Trickster from Sarah Jane, and a comic book character, Absalom Dak, who apparently kills Daleks.
Okay.
That's all I know about him. Mm-hmm. I was bored by this one, although I probably will watch it again if I just want... I don't know. Mm. I'm feeling less inclined to watch it again now that we've gone through it.
Okay, thank you, Kirby. I will say that I got a phone call, well, not me personally, it was a phone call at about 9:20 this morning for one of my wife's customers who said, oh, where's Debbie? I said, she's out. And she goes, oh, did you watch Doctor Who this week? I said, yeah. Oh, I didn't like her. It didn't make any sense to me whatsoever. It was a bit of a mess. So there you go. That's the casual viewer's input on it. I tried to defend it, as I would, because it's my programme. But talking of defending stuff, here's Mary.
Well, yeah, that's what I'd agree with. It's a bit of a mess. The one positive thing, which puts this one at the top of my list for this season, is simply because it featured the Doctor and his machinations and that he seemed to be in control. And also for that, this is my favorite of this season. But it really is a mess of a story. There's not an original thought in the whole thing because it's simply a ripoff or a copy of every heist movie that's been out there, including a lot of the incidental music. If you listen, you'll hear the themes from Ocean's 11. You'll hear even 007 themes. You'll hear all these repetitive themes from other heist and those kinds of movies. Even the creature is not original. Like we said, it seems to be a cross between a Jadoon and the Minotaur. And that even that theme of the Doctor going through all of this just to reunite a creature that was so mean and evil to begin with. But, oh, no, he's actually very lonely and wants his mate. You know, that's not original. We saw that in Hyde. So for me, it was a little more enjoyable first time through because I enjoyed the Doctor. Second time through, it's just, oh my gosh, there was very little in there, you know, to grab a hold of to really appreciate. So that's where I stand.
Master?
Yeah, I'm just blowing my nose. Yes?
I know one of the major reasons this was mediocre.
You go on then.
Stephen Thompson.
Yeah. He has a history of writing rubbish, does he?
Yes, curse of the bad plot, Journey to the Center of the TARDIS.
Yeah, that's right.
So why do they keep getting him back?
Which is too bad because his Sherlock scripts are great.
Yes. Well, I was going to say maybe Moffat just likes writers that he has control over. I don't know.
So there you go. It's a Marmite episode, sort of.
No, this is not a Marmite.
No, I didn't mind it anyway.
Nobody likes
you lot.
Nobody really likes it. I mean, last week was the Marmite episode.
Listen was one of the best things ever. Shut up. I'd say it was Marmite simply because I didn't mind it anywhere near as much as you lot.
No.
God, Matthew's pestering me.
This is going live.
Matthew keeps messaging saying he says he hasn't watched it yet, so that's why he can't comment. And I'm typing this on my phone, so bear with me and apologise for weird formatting and or misspellings that are about to occur.
So watch this space, we've got something coming.
Yeah.
Well, I'm surprised Matthew's even paid attention to us this week. Normally he's just sitting in a black hole someplace listening to Big Finish.
Well, I posted on Facebook when we started recording. Just in case anybody had anything to
do that, you know.
My father hasn't sent his feedback. Oh, I'm quite miffed. Yeah, I know. I've told him.
Well, he mentioned the word feedback, which is quite good because that's what we're doing now.
Oh, we segue nicely.
Yes, indeed. Oh, can't get it up.
Oh dear.
Oh, there's Matthew's stuff. Okay.
Time Hess by Stephen Moffat and Stephen Thompson. But first, a bit of a side note on what I think of the season so far. So far, I'm loving this season.
Good boy.
And for me, this is the best season, well, so far, that is, since Series 2, David Tennant's first season, with Listen being, so far, my most favourite. It's been a great season. I'm enjoying how Capaldi is developing into the role. I'm loving his new dark, seemingly socially uncouth and devoid of tact portrayal of the Doctor that Capaldi is, portraying, basically. Great stuff. I love his very matter-of-fact approach when someone has died and when he's dealing with the human race. I love that. Great stuff. But in regard to the story itself, Time Hess, I thought it was a great story. Great characters in Cy and Sabria. Now then, did I say her name right? I can't remember. But you know who I'm talking about. great characters. It'd be great to see them again, actually, in the series sometime, I think. A great plot. And no, it wasn't a new idea, a bank robbery. And I've read a couple of reviews since the airing of this story 24 hours ago. And a very common comment is the fact it's not a new idea, that this particular concept or plot idea has been flogged over the years. But my response to that is, so what? I still found the story quite entertaining, full of suspense. And also fast moving, I thought, which kept me quite interested, and great story. And it was nice how the plot turned out to be a rescue mission for the Tellers. Very Doctor Who, I thought, very much so. But speaking of which, the Teller, the monster, I thought was great. Slightly reminiscent, or very much reminiscent, of something out of that bar scene, out of that scene in Tatooine in Star Wars. But good, no less. Now, another matter, I absolutely loved how Clara took a bit of a back step in this story. And the Doctor came to the fore, very much so. Mm. Great stuff. I'm not particularly a fan of a secondary or a supporting character taking a bit of a lead role or carrying the episode. After all, this is Doctor Who and it needs to be about him. Mm. Okay, that's my take on that. So it was about time that the Doctor did carry the story or it carried the episode. Great stuff. But all in all, I enjoyed this episode. I'm quite looking forward to next week's episode, actually. But I must admit one thing, and that is I'm quite dubious of that robot in next week's episode. Yeah, but we'll see. Time will tell. Take care.
Thank you, Billy.
Thank you, Billy.
Yes, thank you, Billy.
Right. I've got some more feedback. I don't know if we never know whether you're going to be able to hear this or not. But here we go.
Well,
no, he's on quiet mode this week.
7:21 Sunday evening. Sitting at the desktop for change. Adam, what's the sound quality of this light?
Because terrible.
I'm using my rebuilt computer. I want to know what it's like on this one against the laptop.
It's
anyway,
terrible, Andy.
I watched last night's episode this morning, or at lunchtime when I came back from church. Yesterday we were just celebrating the Mighty Quinns beating Wasps. And by the time I got home, I was.
Yes!
Anyway, I think perhaps it might have actually made more sense if I had watched it last night in my slightly. Drunken state as yeah, I did find this rather confusing. It's certainly jumping around. I mean, the time travel piece about the fact that it's actually themselves in the future setting it all up. I thought there were some quite clever bits, you know, having the storm at the right time because that's the way it was set up. But I did find this didn't flow. It's very, very jumpy. I mean, certainly the way it was filmed, it was jumping around. Certainly put me in mind the Matrix as well. But I found it difficult to understand what they were really trying to achieve. You know, you've got the Doctor with these two strange people, the, not adjusted human, I can't think of the, enhanced, augmented human, and also the shape changer, who they just seem to have found from somewhere, and they just turned up, and then they disappeared, and then they came back. I thought it was pretty obvious, actually, it was going to be some sort of time trial. It wasn't really a self-destruct device, but... Yeah, there was a lot of gaps in this, a lot of things that weren't really explained very well. You could see that the two of them did have their own reward. The guy wanted his memories back, and the girl wanted to be able to stop changing herself every time she touched somebody. But what was the Doctor going to get in that private vault? You got the two monsters. I mean, anyone else think Jadoon? Because I certainly did.
Was it implied it was a target?
No, I couldn't understand what the Doctor's motivation for that whole thing was. So I did find this... I'm disappointed. He's about a little poor. Keely Horse. Yes. Again, what was she actually doing? They've got this
being a baddie.
Person who turns out is cloning herself left, right, and centre, and seems to have no compunction whatsoever in killing her own clones off. Mm. But again, what was she doing? And you have this bank that seems a solar storm can just destroy it, and people just. Dying. It didn't make a lot of sense. It didn't flow. It was very jumpy, very jerky, and I just couldn't get a real feeling of what the storyline was. I must admit, there were some interesting, horrible bits in it. I said I did like the way it was filmed. I mean, I did find it put me very much in line to the Matrix. Glasses of Vinyl, by the way. The way it's almost like a jump cut type of editing, and the way that a lot of the the scenes where they're coming at different angles. I think that was cleverly done, but I think really that was style over content winning, really. I think it just made it the fact that, yeah. I don't know what other people thought. I mean, I've seen on the Facebook, not many people seem to enjoy this. I think this is going to be, I don't think it's going to be Marmite one. I think it's going to be Baked Bean one. Baked Beans. Pulsing things on earth.
Yeah, I agree with you about that.
This episode's going to be disappointing. I mean, the four we've had so far, I would say it was the worst. But what you did see, yeah, the Doctor coming and taking over, and people challenging, why are you taking over? Well, because I am, because this is what I do. And I like the bits where the guy says to Clara, you know, you've been with him so long, you're making excuses for him. Now, I think that shows, again, it's a good way the relationship is building, the fact that Clara does actually trust him. And I think you've got there that she has taken to this older man who's, you know, is not the boyfriend figure anymore, but she does believe in him already, having only known him for a few hours, you know, really? I mean, because she doesn't spend her life on the TARDIS, you know, she has her own life outside and comes and goes. How much time has she actually spent with the Doctor? See, that's what I think is quite interesting. It's the first time we've really had the Doctor-companion relationship where... the companion actually does hold quite a lot of time, the upper hand there as well. And that's probably my first drink of the day, so it'll be my last drink after this, until Friday. despite Adam's comments about my alcohol intake last week. Thank you, Mr. Pearson. So all in all, yeah, not a good one, not a good one. I'm just see what Ben makes of it, you know, knowing his lack of love of Mr. Moffat. And I think this is one that's going to... I will have to watch it again and see if it does make a bit more sense, but no, as I said, style over content, very jumpy. No, didn't like it. Away it goes. Be seeing you.
Thank you, Andy.
Mm. Hey, I would agree with Andy that all of these episodes so far have been style over content.
Nope.
I said he sneezed.
Oh, dear.
Are we keeping you up?
Oh, he's got the sneezes. Uh-oh.
He's either got allergies or a cold.
I've got a cold. I've got a daughter that purveys germs left, right and centre.
Yeah.
Anyway, more feedback.
Hello to everyone at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. This is Patrick from North Hollywood with my feedback for the Doctor Who episode Time Heist. My feedback will be short and sweet. I enjoyed the episode. I really like how it was. I see a lot of people commenting on this, that it's more of a Doctor-centric episode where he is the lead and he handles most of the action. I enjoyed that. The performances were great. As they have been all season. I harp on this a lot. The characterizations of the characters are really great. Just the stories have been up and down. Here's the thing. Well, a couple of things. As soon as I think the female character, Sabra, when she, you know, what we thought she was sacrificing herself when the teller was sapping her her mind. I thought as soon as she disintegrated, I thought, well, we're gonna see her in heaven at the end of the episode. And thankfully, that didn't happen. Thankfully, yeah. You know, Sabra and Sai didn't, you know, sacrifice themselves so we wouldn't have a Missy at the end of the episode, because I thought that was gonna happen. So I think it's a pretty clever, timey-wimey episode. You know, the doctor gets the call, and that call is something he spurred from, you know, from handing Madame Carol Braxos his number at the end of the episode that caused her to call. So it kind of like wraps up in a nice, neat bow. I can understand the doctor being the architect, the doctor using his TARDIS to place all those cases there at different points of time before the solar flare so that they could pull it off at that particular moment. I bought all that. I bought the teller and his mate, you know, being compelling enough to want to save. What I did not buy is the whole crux of the beginning of the spark of the plot, meaning I don't believe for one second that Madame Cara Braxos on her deathbed would care about saving the teller after the fact. I just she had just been characterized as someone so vain and evil and vile that you would think that that's what she wants to do. She has access to someone who has time travel, and she wants to save this alien creature and this creature's mate that she's stored away, you know, the last of their species. Yes, that's probably one thing. That's probably something that someone would want to do, but do you think that character would care about that? I don't think that character would care about that, seeing as that he had the teller in chains and his mate in chains, separated for how many years that she had them in captivity. I'm sure she regrets it, but is that her one regret? That's the one thing she's going to change? You know, the solar flare, after they all left in the TARDIS, it wiped out the bank. So it wiped out all the people in the bank. You know, some of them were innocent people. Some of them were, you know, customers or just workers at the bank. They weren't just all her clones. So it just, I mean, I really liked the story, but I just didn't buy that she was the one who sparked it, that on her deathbed she wanted to set this whole thing up just so she can get the teller and his mate out. I just didn't buy her motives. But the story itself was great. You know, just the, you know, the, I just didn't buy why they were doing the story. So it kind of like, you know, that in itself is timey-wimey. I like the story, how it began and ended, but I didn't like how the end sparked the beginning. You know, if that makes any sense. Probably doesn't. Anyway. That's it for me. Like I said, enjoyable. Not as good as last week's whatsoever, but definitely above par. Definitely a good solid episode. I definitely could get into it. I like the extra characters. And it was very clever in a lot of ways, and very, you know, very rehash in other ways. You know, the teller and his mate is the same as, I don't know, what's that? You guys all know what's the ghost story where it was like a monster and the whole thing, the monster was just trying to get back to his mate, and Matt Smith brought them to a planet where they could be together, or something. And Ty, you guys don't know what I'm talking about, but it's just like those characters are kind of like the same characters, the teller and his mate, and the monster from that Matt Smith story and his mate. So same thing, you know, take them into TARDIS to somewhere they can live on a nice new planet. You know, that's, I don't know, a little bit of a rehash. It could have been a little bit more original, but anyway, all in all, okay story. Okay, Doctor Who is better than 99% of anything else that's on TV at any one time, so can't complain too much. And that's it. So I hope you guys have a great week.
Thank you very much, Patrick.
Thank you.
That was Patrick, Mary, which you went, yeah, good point, yeah, point, good point, I agree.
None of us thought of that, but yeah, that's really a good thought. Why would she all of a sudden?
I'm starting to not like this one now. Yeah, go on, Kirby, yes.
Oh, just a little side note. There's only one Teller costume. They just filmed the guy walking away with two different ways and then combined them digitally to have the two creatures at the end.
Thank you. That's a really necessary bit of information. Thank you very much. Right, we have got some more feedback because Matthew Kressel has just provided us with some stuff that Debbie is now going to read out.
Crumbs, I haven't got it up.
I thought he hadn't seen it yet.
Yeah, he sent it.
Give me a second. Hang on.
Yeah, she's messing around.
Matthew's just sent us something exclusive. Yeah. So I'm going to read it out.
She's going
just
to read
received
it out.
Just now, yes, live.
She's doing it now, live.
Live.
Yes.
I want to give 20 Megabyte what I think is an exclusive announcement regarding an unofficial Doctor Who short story anthology I'm contributing to. That's some sentence.
It's contributing.
Be quiet, Kirby.
It's called Seasons of War and will focus on John Hurt's War Doctor covering his entire period during the Time War.
Cool.
There's stories by established Who writers, including George Mann, author of the recent War Doctor novel Engines of War, 11th Doctor novel writer Jenny Colgan, TV and Big Finish writer Andrew Smith, and Wilderness Era novelists, including Kate Orman and Lance Parking, to name a few. There's also some up-and-coming writers involved, as well as including yours truly, who counts himself bloody lucky to be involved at all. All proceeds from the anthology will go to Caldwell Children, a charity which offers family support services for families with learning difficulties, and will be dedicated to the memory of the late Paul Spragg from Big Finish.
Excellent.
I want to add there's more Who writers who will be contributing who I can't announce yet, so watch this space.
Thank you, Matthew. I thought he was going to talk about the episode.
No, it wasn't. It was an announcement.
But thanks anyway.
Mm-hmm. We've still got some feedback, though.
We have, yes.
Good job, Matthew.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Yes. I know, well done.
Even Kirby agrees that was a good job.
Brilliant.
Well done even more, Matthew.
Yeah, why would I disagree?
Oh, because you're very contrary, aren't you?
Oh.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. A few weeks ago, Apple's cloud service was hacked and celebrity pictures stolen.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrities are not happy.
Yes.
Time Heist by Thompson and Moffat. Madame Karabraxos arranges for her own bank to be robbed. Sub-postmaster Ian Kirk robbed his own post office and claimed it was two armed men. Well, that was a different Ian Kirk. But if I ever get stopped by the police, they ask me for my date of birth a couple of times, just to make sure. Delphox is an anagram of Help Docs, but I don't think that is relevant. As is usual in action adventures, the villain walks out and leaves the heroes to be dealt with. Doctor Who has a thing about solar flares. The Earth had to be abandoned because of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Doctor is competing with Danny Pink for the most impressive date with Clara. In the Doctor Who extra, we see there was only one Teller costume. The two of them walking away at the end was a special effect. The Teller turned the fraudster's brain to soup, and the top of his skull collapsed. It does your head in.
Oh.
Bye for now.
But I'm ching.
If you insist, Master. Ian. Hang on, Ian's waiting for one of these. Yes, Kirby?
I had not read Ian's script before I mentioned the same thing.
Reading one of Ian's scripts is not quite the same as reading one of the future episodes of Doctor Who scripts. It's not.
Well, that's done. And actually, I'm kind of glad that we've gone past the leaked scripts and the leaked
episodes. I haven't. I'm still cross with you.
Because, what?
I'm still cross with you for reading future episode scripts.
I didn't reveal anything.
No, you shouldn't have read them in the first place.
But I discovered with this particular story, I wish I'd probably have a better view of it if I had not read it and seen it first.
Okay. Well, maybe so. Right. So that's one of the points I was making.
See, I'm kind of looking forward to The Caretaker. I don't know why people are against it.
Well, we'll see. I was just thinking about
Okay. What do you not like? About it?
I don't. I'm on the fence with it, to be honest with you. But I'll see what happens as the series goes on. But when
I love the fact that they're going back to Coal Hill for a complete story at Coal Hill.
Yeah, but I don't like the idea that it's going to be Clara centered again.
Yeah,
that is similar to the one where Sarah Jane came back. What was that one called? The one with
the Krillitanes.
School reunion.
School reunion. Similar sort of thing, wouldn't it?
I love school reunion.
The face off of the pool is amazing.
I think it won't be as good as that one somehow. I have a prediction.
No.
But I was going to say that.
I probably have watched School Reunion 30 times.
It's going to demolish this.
Oh, jeez.
It's good, that's
no, it's brilliant, isn't it? It is brilliant.
Yes.
Get a life.
Well, Sarah Jane is the first companion I ever saw. I just love her.
Yeah, it's such a good episode, whether she's in or not. Anyway, Madame Cara... What, sorry?
Cara Braxos.
Yeah. Well, don't you think she's, without the eye patch, but quite similar to... Mm-hmm. Madame Cara...
Yes, they pointed that. Kavirian. They pointed that out in the making of.
Yeah, but don't you think that's a bit silly? The similarity.
There's just a planet out there with women wearing spiked heels and suits yeah. that are all reared to be baddies,
or
and unflattering hairstyles,
yeah.
or nannies,
or nannies. Yeah,
it's just what Moffat likes.
Clearly, she's got some sort of fetish.
Moffat. RTD had those kind of people
too. Yeah. This put me off what I was going to say now. I was going to say something then. Oh, yeah, I'm new members of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group, which you can join. We should change the title to the which you can join at the end of it.
Yeah, which you can join.
Nobody joined it, so that sort of puts an end to that particular feature. I was hoping Ben was going to arrive on the show in time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
He's hiding after having peed his way through the last one.
Stop talking through the title. Well, be very careful with that camera. It's worth 2,700 quid. Yes, this week's edition of You Won't Get This One, incorporating questions on this week's magnificent episode of Doctor Who called, I've forgotten.
Time Heist.
Time Heist, not Time
Heist. Time Heist.
Right then, just get your page open. Hey! Oi!
That wasn't me!
Oh, he's opened up in a new window.
I don't know.
Oh, I must have pressed the space bar.
This upgrade is
that's good,
really
because then I can do the end bit later on. I can go like this. Hang on. No, hang on. I can queue up the end bit. That's it. Hey! Right, now, just make a note. 2 minutes and 1 second
exciting,
is the end bit.
Exciting, isn't
right,
it?
Right, I'll leave that up there because I can... don't love Macintoshes. They're such good little pieces of... equipment, aren't they, Kirby? Right then, the first question goes to Kirby. Don't you dare look over my shoulder.
I'm not looking over your shoulder. You tell me that every week. Right,
what
I can't.
Thank you. What possible destination does the Doctor first mention?
The Satanic Nebula.
Is the hang on? Is the where's the thingy gone? There it is. Is the correct answer?
Oh, ding.
Right. Actually, I wonder if I can rush it a space bar. If I get that one up and run, this make my job much easier. Oh, darn! That wasn't supposed to happen. I can only have one up at a time. That's what she said. Right.
You need one of them now.
Hang on, where's it gone again? Where's the...
you need that now.
Oh, that one. okay. Right. Mary, sorry.
Yes. Quiz.
What did the doctor think Clara might be late for?
Oh, a shelf.
That. Oh, my goodness. That deserves a... Debbie.
Yes.
I was correct, by the way.
Yes.
What happens when you answer the phone, according to the doctor?
Things occur.
No, not quite what I've got written down here. Anybody?
Nothing.
Oh, that would be a... Correct. Right. Kirby.
Master.
What rotating stroke circled letter appears on the monitor when the architect speaks?
A K.
I thought you might know that one. Since his name begins with a K. All right, Mary.
Yes, I'm considering changing from my Dalek eye to that.
Yeah. Yes, might be a good idea. Mary, why do they have to rob the bank? What do they have to rob? I nearly said the answer then.
Yeah.
Duh.
You did say the answer.
That was obviously a bank, but what bank?
What is the name of the bank?
Yeah.
Yes.
The Bank of Karabraxos.
Is the correct answer.
But you just said the name of the bank was what?
Oh, be quiet.
You said the name of the bank was what?
What?
Never mind.
What?
What?
Be quiet. Debbie.
Yes?
What?
What?
What is Miss Delfox's job?
What's Head of Security? Chief of Security.
I won't give you that one.
Sorry.
Close
Head
enough.
Of Bank Security, but I'll do. Right. Well, the scores then, after that many questions, is in last place with 2 points. Is
Debbie. Well, she may be head of security of the building down the road.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
She's in a bank.
In second place with 4 points is Kirby, and the lead with 5 points is Mary's. Is Kirby's question.
Master.
What is Sai's job?
He's a hacker and bank robber.
Not quite what I had written down.
He's a gamer.
That's what I had written down.
Okay.
Right, Mary.
He changes it halfway through and says that.
Yeah.
Therefore, I was correct.
All right, I'll give you a point. I'll give you a point each. Right then. Deb, who did I get up to? He's put me off. Was it Mary?
Who was it?
It's Mary's go, because that was Kirby's. All right. He talked me into giving him a point. Right. Mary.
Yes.
According to Clara, what is question two?
Ooh, I don't know.
Ooh, right. Anybody?
Where's the TARDIS?
That is the correct answer. I was going to be silly and said question two was, what did the doctor think Clara might be late for? But it wasn't.
That was a funny exchange where he was going, why am I not using the TARDIS? And she goes, where's the TARDIS? Yeah. That should be question one.
Yeah. Right, Debbie.
Yeah.
What did the doctor compare the teller to?
Pin.
What?
Pin and teller.
Lie detector?
No. That's not a lie detector. Anybody?
No.
Oh, you didn't get that one then. The answer was sniffer dogs.
Right. Oh, they've upgraded the sniffer dogs. Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Kirby.
Master?
What will being pessimistic do, according to the doctor?
Oh, yes. I know that one.
Pardon?
Pass it on.
Go on then, Debbie.
It'll affect team morale.
Oh, that will therefore be a...
Oh, yes.
One of my quotes that I was going to use.
Right. Mary.
Yes.
Why is the doctor in charge?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, because he's got the eyebrows.
Is the correct answer. Debbie.
Yes.
What type of bomb made a hole in the floor?
Dimensional shift bomb.
That's the correct answer. And after those questions, the scores are currently. In last place with 5 points is Debbie. In second place with 6 points is Kirby. And in the lead with 8 points, it's the person that didn't like the episode. It's Mary.
Oh, I liked it. I liked it better than any of the others so far.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Right, Kirby.
Master.
Why did Sai delete the memories of his family?
I know that one, yeah.
Debbie knows this one.
Well, she knows
I know
it.
Too.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Pardon, Kirby?
Go ahead.
Oh, hang on. I've got to play that. Go on then, Debbie.
He was being interrogated by the police and did it to protect them.
Oh, he did it not because quite. He loved them.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm going to give that to Mary because that is actually the correct one. So it's Debbie, you get a... And Mary, you get a... okay. And so counting number two with two fingers does not change that. Right then. Right then. So,
I'm not allowed to say anything. I get points deducted.
Right then. So therefore that... is it now Kobe's question? I've lost track.
No, that was mine.
That was your
so
question.
It's
oh, yes,
Mary.
It's Mary's question. Right. Mary?
Yes?
According to Cy, why is it obvious that Clara has... been travelling with the doctor for a while?
Oh, because she makes excuses for him.
Is the correct answer. Right. Debbie,
mm-hmm.
No fingers this time, please. What is the unbreakable... what is unbreakable even for the doctor? Shall I start playing some lift music?
No idea.
Oh, dearie, dearie me. Right, anybody?
It's an atomic seal.
Is the correct answer.
I've got that written
I suppose then it goes
atomically.
Atomically.
Right. Kirby.
Thank you. I'm here every week.
Kirby.
Master.
What is causing interference with the bank systems?
The solar flare storm, whatever.
Just throw out every word you know.
Mary. You won't get this one.
It was unclear.
Especially if Kirby comes over the question. Mary, what was the first code they needed to find the vault?
Tech 231.
That's only one digit out, so I'll give you a point for that. Anyone who would get the correct digit?
251.
I'll give you a point for that.
Hey, I'm losing with style this week.
The others?
No. Right, Debbie.
Yes.
What is Sabre's payment?
Oh, it's the gene. Oh, I've got it written down somewhere. Formula to stabilise Sabre's genetics.
Oh, I can't remember. I'll give you a point for the word gene.
It's gene suppressant.
And I'll give you a point for the other word.
I said it exactly the same way.
Sorry,
it's
not a point.
She should get that other point.
Point each. Yes, Kirby.
But she wasn't wearing jeans.
Oh, another one.
Because they were suppressed.
Oh.
Right, so two questions left means this is free for all. Well, you don't get this free as in, oh, never mind.
Come on,
right.
Just sit back and
here
watch
we go.
This
right,
one.
First question, first free for all question. You can stop looking in the pot of celebrations because you're not going to be celebrating anything this week. Oh. It's, what is the doctor's assessment of Madame Karabraxos? Oh dear, it's all gone very quiet.
I don't know.
Okay.
Oh no.
But she doesn't like her... clone.
I'm glad you gave me an answer. It's wrong.
Yeah, fair enough.
But the answer is career break for the right therapist.
Right.
Mm. Oh, okay.
And the final question is, and somebody will get this one because it's quite an easy one, so please listen and come in as quick as you can. What did the doctor think of bow ties?
He mentioned them?
Yes, he did, yes.
Yeah, he mentioned something.
Are they cool?
Yeah, he says something like
Debbie,
they're stupid or they're...
I beg your pardon, Mary?
He says something to the effect like they're stupid or something.
No, he said they're a bit embarrassing.
Oh, embarrassing.
Right.
Yeah.
So, oh, is that when he made the comment about the scarf?
The scarf,
yeah.
Yeah,
the scarf, yeah.
I caught the scarf part.
Yes, well, that was not the part that was in the question, unfortunately. Well, anyway, the final scores of this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. I've got to get my quiz thing. I was going to start playing it at the beginning. The final scores this week... are in last place with 6 points.
Yay!
And it's just a mask for next week when she wins. Debbie in second place with 10 points. Kirby and the winner this week. She paid attention this week. Yes, it's Mary. Oh, by the way, 13 points.
For once.
One before this. A long, long time ago.
Galaxy Far Far Away. No, this is not new. That's Star Wars.
Open one, don't you? live podcasting may be the way to the future. Now I'm getting the hang of it. Right. So I think we're trying to do a bit of news, if I can get this one to work, because unfortunately it's got a volume thing on it, so I can play it in the background quite easily. So watch this. I'm getting the hang of this.
Well done.
But a bit quieter. Where's the volume thing on it?
I don't know.
Oh, forget that one. I'll only have to restart it. Oh, there it is. Oh, no. So I've got a choice of loud or... I can't. You won't be able to hear Mary Kirby. Oh, I'll turn it down. All right, forget that one. It says open with iTunes. I've got a volume control on iTunes. Let's try that. This is
live.
As Ben would say, this is slick.
Ooh.
Right, it's opening with iTunes. That means another application open while it... I don't want to download it. While it's... Oh, it, hang on. Let's turn it right down.
Okay.
Is that quiet enough?
Yeah.
Right, I got right. Right, go back to the beginning again. And now it's time for news, even though I haven't got the page open yet.
You've turned it down again.
Have I? How'd you play it on the loop?
I don't know.
No, just, yeah, no, I
just
it's
turned
just,
it down.
No, it's buffering. It's buffering.
Oh, right.
It's buffering.
There we go.
Oh, no, it's turned down.
Yeah.
Who's that? Sarah Burke.
Not me.
Right. No, so one of my future brides has just sent me a picture.
How many have you got?
Quiet. Right, hang on.
Yes, Dracula.
Right. What's going on
here? Let's just start.
Hello, what would you both like for dinner? Now, that's a question I really do like to get. It's very, very rare that brides feed us. Well, I did a 10-hour day yesterday and didn't get fed. Well, we had to go off to McDonald's and get something in the end.
Oh,
they didn't even give us a drink.
Oh.
But, yeah.
There's McDonald's. Although
I did get a sandwich. No, I'll tell a lie. They did give us a sandwich in the morning in the bride's boudoir. But other than that, we didn't get any food or any drink from them. But never mind. Anyway, now it's time for news. I've got to re-cue that in a minute. Right. I'll get that a bit better next time when I get the anime.
We'll get more
sleep. Yes, Doctor Who news. You could have had the page open ready for me, David. Just save me looking a right twonk, even though that's a bit unavoidable. Okay, consolidated ratings for Listen, 7.01 million, which is pretty good, really, isn't it?
It's not bad.
It's gone up by about 2 million. Yeah. Shows that people are still watching the show.
Well, it was an excellent story.
And I'll turn you off because you... I'll just go and go, because he probably doesn't like listening to his own
voice. I think
I'm
going to be sick.
Oh, yeah? Oh, dear. What's up?
Oh, dear.
Time Heist overnight viewing figures, 4.93 million. But
it deserved fewer.
But it's going to get really panned next week because obviously it's up against X Factor, so I think it's going to be very low in the ratings.
I don't watch X
Factor. I don't know. Well, we do, actually. We watch it recorded by about 3 months ahead. Well, you know, we have it on the Skybox and watch it when we can. But it will be. If it's up against X Factor, it will not get many viewers apart from Doctor Who fans and people that hate the X Factor.
You know what that's going to mean.
What?
If it gets bad, everyone's going to go, oh no, it'll be cancelled.
Yeah. Tim Quinn and Dickie Howe at Doctor Who
Art. People will tape it even though they watch The X Factor. They'll tape it and then they'll watch it later.
Yeah, and then the figures will go up again, that's right. Mm-hmm. I love the way she says tape it, because I do love that term.
I still call the DVD player a video recorder.
Yeah, well, people Blu-rays DVDs, don't they?
We're all showing our age.
Miwok Publishing are publishing a complete collection of Tim Quinn / Dickie Howe Doctor Who work in a new book to be published next year. It's called It's Even Bigger on the Inside.
Never heard of them.
No, yeah,
it's like Doctor Who cartoon stuff. But it looks really good, actually, doesn't it? That little segment they've got there. You going to get it?
No.
Right, Doctor Who, Time Heist poster. It's quite cool, actually, isn't it? It's very sad when
I
the poster
am enjoying
is better
these
than
posters.
The episode.
Yeah, the Radio Times posters.
Yeah. Right, Time Heist, Doctor Who Extra, BBC Red Button Times. I haven't seen them. And I probably won't
ever
get to
see
them.
You don't need the red button. You can just watch it off of YouTube.
Whatever.
What's really surprising is that for Deep Breath, they region locked the extra. And then after that, we've been able to see them all over the world.
Yeah.
Hang on, we're playing ABBA now.
We seem to be playing ABBA, Knowing me, you.
Oh, now it's going Dancing Queen. How's it going from the news round theme to that? Right, no more news band background.
I don't hear anything.
No, you won't.
Yeah, I don't hear it either.
You'll hear it when you listen to the show. Right. Deep Breath Live +7. What's that mean then? Doctor Who Deep Breath has a Final Live Plus 7 UK TV audience of 10.76 million. What's that mean, Dee? Live Plus 7? Oh, it says here. The Live Plus 7 figure includes not only those who watched the BBC One broadcast and those who time shift, but also those who watched the repeats on other UK channels and those who watched the programme on iPlayer.
Yeah.
The total figure is an estimate of the total number of unique viewers who have watched the episode on television within 1 week of broadcast. Oh,
okay.
Well, there you go then. I bet that's going to be lower for... It's very long to take them to do that, isn't it? But I think it's going to be lower for future episodes. There's a special event which we've missed at Hamley's. The Doctor Who free limited edition poster with any Doctor Who purchase.
That was last Friday.
Yes, missed that one. and we're going to be in London soon. It's Isla in the what they call that thing? What's Kirsty called it? The Mardi Gras.
No. Too little
is she. Right. Well, we're going up to the what's that theatre called again? Her Majesty's Theatre in London, where in the West End. You have to say mention the West End bit because then you can say your child's performed in the West End.
Oh yes.
Alicia's performed in the West End about 8 years ago, but it doesn't make any difference. But yeah, it's called Mardi Gras.
And now for the important.
And when we do that, you drop the kids off at the theatre, and then you go into Regent Street, Oxford Street, and Piccadilly, and go shopping. And one of the shops we go into is Hamley's, just because it's so fab in there.
Exactly, no, I love it.
It's amazing. yeah, go on then, Kobe.
The important news is the cast announced for the Christmas special.
Go on then, I'll let you do that one.
Well, we've got Nick Frost.
No, wait.
And he's famous for things that he does, like Shaun of the Dead, etc. And right. I've got a cat. Yeah. I've got a cat walking in front of the microphone. Sorry.
Right, that's a new one, is it? That's a strange title. Then,
and then the important person, Michael Troughton.
Yeah, I did see that somewhere. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, is that it? Carry on. No,
well, there's some people I've never heard of.
Yeah.
Natalie Gumede or Gummede, Faye Marseille, and Nathan McMullen. And I've got a cat trying to bat at my headphones.
They've cast a cat?
Why not?
I suppose
I've had cats before.
Yeah, I suppose I have. Anyway, so that's news then this week. And now we're going to move on to our sponsors, Mary.
Our sponsors are...
Might that be whowon.co.uk?
Oh, let us go.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
It's whowon.co.uk.
I wonder if one of our fine listeners might be to go back through the records and see who has won what quizzes and how many and...
I considered it, but it's just too much
of a
chore.
You have to listen to every episode every episode since quizzes began. you're right. It is whowon.co.uk, who have a new item listed, and it's really, really cool, especially if you like books or anything that's stacking on shelves. It's the Doctor Who, it's the TARDIS bookends, basically.
Books not included.
Books not included. Yeah, it's £39.99, and it's one end is the bottom end of the TARDIS, and the other end is the top end of the TARDIS. And
it's really cool.
It's a very clever gadget. Put your books in between it.
Yeah. Really cool.
£39.99.
But the TARDIS is kind of twisted.
It is, looking at it. It's
probably the angle of the photograph, to be honest, or not. Depends how they did it. But no, I think it's really cool. I don't think I would want one. Although, mind you, get rid of everything on my mantelpiece and have one of that. I don't have any mini books, to be honest.
You probably do. Doctor Who books.
If you've got some DVDs, that'd be really cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah, put DVDs in there. There's no limit to what you can put in between them.
I beg your pardon.
You could put everything.
Oh dear, it's like having Mary sat next to me. Along with the other standard items, you can get them at whowon.co.uk, such as Big Finish on CD, and the Doctor Who in 2015 annual at £7.99, and like a comic book of Blood of Azrael, which is the 11th Doctor comic book, £13.99. And your Mr. Potato Head Dalek and Dalek Patrol Ship. Were you eating something?
No, the cat is now playing with a packet of crisps.
And this looks quite interesting. How to Be a Time Lord. It's a pre-order book. £9.99.
Number one, be born a Time Lord.
Is that what it says?
No.
wonder if Reese wrote that, because it sounds like a sort of Book of Excuses type thing, doesn't it? They've also released the Castrovalva set, which is the Doctor in his, well, the Fifth Doctor in Fourth Doctor costume, and the Case of Androzani set, which we talked about on a previous episode of the show. Still, I moaned last week the fact that they released a 5-inch figure of Clara, but not of the 12th Doctor yet. Very annoying. It's not Uwan's fault, by the way.
No, it'll be coming.
Lavazzi have some scarves. Some 4th Doctor scarf. They also have a Dalek scarf in differing colours. The 7th Doctor's Paisley scarf and jumper, which nobody's bought me yet. But there's more news on this, if you don't interrupt me in the middle of me discussing sponsorships. I'll let you talk about it afterwards, because I had a chat online with Meninda, because I said about the stripy scarf looking like the 1st Doctor's one, that one there. And he looked at it, and I sent him a picture of the 1st Doctor's stripy scarf, and he agreed that they might just adjust the design of it to make it look a bit more like the 1st Doctor's and add it to the range.
Cool.
So I don't know if I'm going to get a credit there, but I think I at least deserve a scarf for the post for that particular suggestion. Yes, Kirby?
Pardon me for repeating myself.
Oh, dear.
Pardon me for repeating myself, but the page for whowon.co.uk, there's a little ad at the top of the page for the 20 megabyte.
Yeah, I know. He goes on about this every blooming week. I haven't got time to contract Nick. You're going to do it.
I'll do it. Yeah.
Debbie's going to contact Nick. How are you going to send him one with the correct one on there?
Yes.
How are you going to do that?
I don't know.
Why don't you just walk down the street?
You'll need that graphic.
Oh, well, you'll
have
to.
The new one.
You'll have to, yeah.
So I still have to do it.
Yes, you'll have to.
Just down the street, about 2 blocks.
Yeah, just over the way there, look.
I'm ignoring him. Oh. Well, Ben never turned up, did he? In fact, he never even answered my message this morning that said, are you coming on the show this week?
He's busy.
Running. So, with all that in mind, I think we've sort of done it. Next week, we'll be talking about the next episode, which is called Kirby.
The Caretaker.
No, it's called Kirby. No, I'm joking. The Caretaker, right. And
which
also,
I'm looking forward to. I think it's going to be good.
Okay, I hope so. Next time, I suppose, unlikely to be Sunday, Mary. I do apologise, but I'm filming. I'm not filming this week, but I have got 3 weddings to edit, so I'll probably have to spend my Sunday evening editing at least one.
That's
of the
okay. I won't be around on Sunday or Monday.
Oh, good. Nick, it'll be Monday.
I'll be out of town. I'll be coming back on Monday. So unless we do it Tuesday morning,
maybe we should do it Tuesday.
Debbie's available on Monday, but you're not available on Tuesday.
I am.
You're available on Monday or Tuesday. It'd probably be better for it to be done on a Monday, simply because the house is a lot quieter. Tuesday's okay. So
we'll only have two. And we'll only have 2 people, unless we can get Matthew to rejoin.
Hang on. Only 2 people? What do you mean, only 2 people? Well, you're not available on Monday then, Kirby. Am I losing the plot?
Mary said she's not available on Monday.
Did you say you're not available on Monday, Mary?
I did.
Did you? I thought you said you were on Monday and Sunday. I misunderstood.
No, I'll be out of town. I won't be coming back until Monday.
Okay, right.
So
let's
I won't be there Monday morning.
She is available Tuesday.
Are you available on Tuesday, Mary?
I'm available Tuesday morning.
Therefore,
yes.
I will podcast from home. It's not to save problems.
It's all right. It's okay. She made you a cup of tea last time.
I know. It's okay. All right.
That's a sign of acceptance.
Okay.
So next week we're recording on Tuesday. Please take note and join the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group and send us some feedback on 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. And well done, Magic, for not barking at the postman. Until next week, goodbye.
Goodbye,
everyone. Have a lovely day.
What happened to the goodbye fancy pants?
Yeah, what happened to fancy pants? Yeah.
Well, this was from this episode.
Oh.
Okay. Goodbye, Fancy.
We can't finish until you say that.
That's what she said.
Bye.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.